My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, this is Seth Payne. This is the Deceptively Fast Podcast. If you are new to it, I played in the NFL for 10 years. I currently host a sports radio program in Houston. And on the Deceptively Fast Podcast, we talk about a bunch of stuff, maybe half football, half other stuff. I have Drew Hodgdon, my old teammate and friend, on with me a lot. I hesitate to call him my official co-host because we might end up branching off and doing a separate Seth and Drew podcast at some point, but he's here a lot. So he played in the NFL for the Texans and for the Ravens. I was an older player when he was a rookie, and I really liked him as a player because he was awesome to practice against. He worked his butt off. He was very bright. He didn't mind taking extra reps during off periods or after practice with me. So I had a lot of respect for him early on. If you like the podcast, subscribe. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth C. Payne, Instagram at Seth C. Payne, and me and my three TikTok videos at Seth C. Payne. And I think I'm just like Seth Payne 175 or something on Facebook, but I don't go on there. So enjoy today's Deceptively Fast Podcast. Welcome to the Deceptively Fast Podcast. I'm here with Drew Hodgdon once again, and this is my favorite time of the year. One of my favorite times of the year. It's like Christmas in August for people who are searching for content, because The Athletic does a survey of NFL agents, and we did this last year, and it was actually the podcast that got the most downloads, or one of the highest downloaded podcasts we did last year, Drew. I know we didn't do as many podcasts as probably.
No. I mean, in a sea of remarkably popular podcast episodes, well, it stood out amongst those.
It did almost as well as like a lot of the Deshaun Watson stuff. When all the Deshaun Watson news, when he first requested a trade, and when he first was found to have these allegations against them, the numbers were crazy on those. And this is likewise. People love anonymous tips or anonymous quotes from agents, and this was from a few dozen agents, and we'll start off with the Deshaun Watson stuff, because they asked the agents about Deshaun and that entire scenario, and you pointed this out, that most of them were pretty negative towards the Browns, pretty much painting the Browns as a cesspool of the NFL, but there were two that were remarkably opposite from each other. The first one was in the vein of what I just referenced, the negative ones, saying that it was disgusting, complete 100% franchise malpractice, sends the wrong message for the Houston Texans to dump him as quickly as they did and to settle the lawsuits as quickly as they did, says a lot about him. And then they go on and on. There's several quotes there, pretty much just slamming the Browns. And then there was one. Whether you think this was a diamond in the rough, or if you think this was the biggest piece of poop in a cesspool of poop, this is the quote. "I thought it was a fantastic development for players and negotiations around the league. You had a franchise quarterback who was essentially a free agent. It was the ultimate leverage, and they took advantage of it. I'd like to think there'll be more of that moving forward." Like, oh, damn.
It was incredible. I mean, it was literally, it was the only one that gushing. Stood out like that.
Absolutely that was gushing. It was. It's amazing that David Mulligetta was able to not even say his actual name when he gave that anonymous yeah, quote.
Exactly.
David Mulligetta is Deshaun Watson's agent. I feel like that might have been Mulligetta.
Yeah, like you could actually read the percentage that he got under that quote. It was like unbelievable. Like I feel like it had to be him. I mean, it was basically like a White House press secretary trying to spin a horrible disaster, natural disaster that took out something. You're like,
now,
oh, okay.
That is the part, though, that it is really amazing when you think about Deshaun Watson in the scenario he was, where basically he used his own misconduct for leverage. I don't think that's how he planned it, but that's ultimately how it worked out. He was a very, very viable, very competitive, you know, you could argue about just how elite he is, but I would say elite NFL quarterback whose team didn't want him. And that hardly ever happens unless there's been a neck fusion surgery or something. So, so Deshaun was not a true unrestricted free agent. This was it's kind of a muted free agent. He got $230 million guaranteed, which goes to show you, okay, what if, like, let's say Lamar Jackson played this thing out to the very end and was an unrestricted free agent. And he, you know, after 2 years of being franchised by the Ravens, he was out there on the market. And let's say he, you know, continued his development. So he was a really, really good player. It's kind of mind boggling how much money he might command on the open market.
But do you feel, you know, in your gut that he will actually come anywhere close to demanding that amount? Because I don't really. And I mean, well, I don't want to get too far into the conjecture of it, but it just does.
You're talking about Kyler Murray? Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson. I feel like this was just such a uniquely strange series of events that came together to drive what probably was an outrageous sum of money that may not be matched by someone else.
Well, okay. So Lamar Jackson was in this article as well. And it's funny because the basic vein of all these various agents that were surveyed about the fact that Lamar Jackson is representing himself without an agent, pretty much the consensus was, hey, he should really have an agent. That's
all I can
tell you is he really, really has to have an agent. Yeah. Except for one guy, one schmuck, and I don't know whether I respect this guy or maybe he's the biggest idiot of the bunch, said that he respected his unorthodox approach to it.
To which he immediately sent his own quote out to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
To let him know that he supported him and all his genius.
I support you, but at any point, you do want to give 3% of that eventual $200 million to me. Yeah, by all means. Okay, so there's two separate situations. The one with Deshaun, where I think you might be onto something there, is that it was even more intense than a normal free agency because there was an auction-like effect. You know, that was... and I think free agency has kind of become that because they have that tampering period, that legal tampering period where it does become a little bit like an auction. Guys don't even visit the teams that they're going to play for anymore. Mm-hmm. But there was something about it was before the draft, before, you know, it was when at a particular time of year, there were no other players out there and available. It was something that you were going to only have a limited shot at. I think it maybe made it more intense, even though
that clause in his contract gave him this additional layer of he was able to really exercise his choice over it on top of the team that still really needed him but weren't fully out the door on saying they weren't with him, even though they kind of were. So it kind of gave him this weird ability to play both sides, it seemed like at the time.
For the Browns to play both sides?
No, for Deshaun.
To basically say
that, look, I mean, yeah, I'm technically still with the Texans and maybe they aren't fully out the door on me just yet.
Yeah.
But he had that clause, right? He had the ability in his contract to decide who it was that he wanted to go to.
Yeah. I wonder with the no trade clause, I think more and more my thinking evolved during that, because at first I was furious that the Texans were one of the teams that had given a no trade clause.
Right. It seemed idiotic.
There are very few in the NFL, or at least there were very few. I think there are going to be more and more now. There were very few in the NFL at the time, and most of them went to either guys who were extreme veterans, quarterbacks who had won a Super Bowl and Jimmy Garoppolo in the last year of his contract. So Deshaun stood alone as a guy that hadn't won a Super Bowl or done anything great as a team yet and had that no trade clause. I do think that moving forward, guys kind of have a de facto no trade clause. If you're a quarterback, because what team is going to want to trade three first round picks for a guy that doesn't want to be at your team? So I'm going to trade. He's disgruntled with the Texans, but yeah, we'll take him in and he won't be disgruntled anymore. I think that's where it probably kind of evens out some way.
Well, but it was weird because of what was obviously going on with the suits against him, because that created this bizarre dynamic where it wasn't a knock against his ability per se. It was something else that you didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So that kind of, I think it just, it worked out bizarrely that it kind of gave him more leverage than you think it should have.
Exactly. The fact that if he had never had those sexual assault allegations against him, I think the Texans, the way I understand it from the way it's been described to me by various people, was that at the very least at the beginning, the Texans were committed to bringing Deshaun Watson back into the fold. They figured that this was transient. You know, this is before there were any allegations. He had early January, he had asked for a trade, and it would be another couple months before there were any allegations publicly known, that the Texans thought, well, this is what happens. Players complain, and then we'll get him back into the fold. We'll figure this out. And then obviously once everything happened, it made it pretty easy for them. Even though I think the resolve might have been softening a little bit already by the time the results came out, I think that just kind of sealed the deal. So one of the other things in here that I was curious about with you was the Brian Flores discrimination suit, which Brian Flores is suing multiple teams in the NFL for discrimination in their hiring practices. A few other people have come into it. And then there's also this whole scenario with Dan Snyder, the owner of the owner of the Washington Commandos. Man,
Commanders.
I've been calling them we've been calling them the Washington Football Commandos as a joke, and now I can't stop
now
saying Washington Football Commandos
it.
Yeah, and every time I say it intentionally, I get a bunch of people calling to correct me. It's a joke, but now when I try to earnestly say Commanders, I can't get it. So Daniel Snyder, the owner, supposedly not actively in charge of the Commanders, Drew, because it's his wife, his non-estranged wife is in charge of the Commanders.
Yeah.
But Daniel Snyder,
he's totally not involved, completely not
has
involved.
Nothing to do with it.
Right.
So I think the question is, as the Dolphins had shown to have tampered with Tom Brady and Sean Payton and had of all this other stuff going on, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, did I say Panthers? It's getting to be a rough day already.
I think you said Dolphins.
I said Dolphins. Okay. So the Dolphins, he got basically a slap on the wrist for that. He's currently being sued. There's this Daniel Snyder stuff. There's this cheerleader scandal in Dallas where one of the big executives was alleged to have been filming cheerleaders without their knowledge.
Yeah.
Super, super creepy stuff. And for the most part, it seems like all the owners have Teflon suits on at this point.
Yeah, it does. It's always kind of been that way, right? It just feels like more broadly, the NFL just has this, there's just an aura, around a bubble around ownership, around the GMs, around management, front office. And it never really fully sticks to them. But the players just tend to get flamed routinely.
The weird thing is, though, that Jerry Richardson was pretty much forced to sell the Panthers I guess he never had an official punishment per se, but I, without going back and looking at the details, he was forced kind of coerced into selling the Panthers. And I wonder if with Daniel Snyder, the owners worry about setting too much of a precedent that, if we do it for this, okay, sure. But does that lower the bar a little bit for this to happen to me when it turns out that God knows not me, I didn't do it. But what if somebody in my organization sexually harassed somebody? Yeah.
I mean, that's why I thought that quote, from one of those guys basically saying, the owners do not want to create the roadmap for their own self-destruction.
Yeah.
Was just spot on. I mean, that was exactly, how it read to me. You're making a face right now.
No. It was a good face. I agreed with you completely. No.
Yeah. I mean, that spoke volumes to me, basically. No. Is that at the end of the day, no matter how bad something is, those guys are not wanting to give anyone the blueprint to try to figure out how to destroy them at a later date when they inevitably are revealed to have been a Nazi.
I was making the face because you had put in here a response to one of the questions about who is the most powerful person in and around the league. And there was another part of who is the most powerful person behind the scenes. I thought that one of the answers for most powerful person behind the scenes was actually one of the answers for one of the most powerful in the NFL. Because one of the answers for most powerful behind the scenes was Mike Florio.
Two votes.
I would say, yeah, I think so. I think he wields a lot of kind of behind the scenes power in terms of being an information broker. I would put Florio on the same level as Schefter and Rappaport, except that those two guys are employees, whereas Florio is a lone shark and can kind of maneuver.
I put that on there because I feel like I'll see occasionally, you know, you'll make comments about it on Twitter. You like repost stuff about Florio and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm completely outing myself, but I don't have a completely valid reason for why I don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I don't like him.
Oh, okay.
But something about it just rings gross.
This is what I'm going to tell you it is. And this is really interesting with Florio because I discovered this early on because he used to come on and do regular shows on our station and he used to do regular appearance on my show.
Right.
Florio's tone, his voice as a writer is different than his voice as a human being. Like his writer's voice is much different than how he is in person. And his writer's voice has a tendency to sound kind of smug, kind of know-it-all-ish. And at times, and I think he would openly admit to this, he's a bit of a clickbaiter at times. Not as irresponsible as some websites, but I think there's times where he clouds his roles, the distinction between his roles, because he used to be just kind of guy who gave his opinions and he aggregated other news items and put it out there and then gave his opinion on it, where now he's become kind of a news source. So there's times when there's times where he's saying something hypothetical or he's throwing something out there as a theory. That's but I think he's respected enough as a source now and as a reporter that I think it blurs the lines too much. So it gets annoying because there's times where he'll throw a hypothetical out there and you're like, well, wait a second, dude. Like, did this guy actually do this or are you just randomly speculating?
That's what it is. It's positioning conjecture as fact.
Yeah.
You know, like it reeks of like a hypothetical, but he makes the statement as though he heard it happen. And that's a thing. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if that rings true or not.
He does the same thing Windhorst was doing when he was trying to hint at whatever that development was in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Brian Windhorst was giving a whole bunch of like curious questions and suppositions and everything. Florio does that just much more eloquently in his writing. I think in person, when I've heard him talk and when I've talked to him, like himself, I'm actually like, well, this fellow is quite charming. I don't mind this guy at all. So I think that's what it is. You have to try to, have you ever watched his show at all?
I haven't.
Yeah. Watch his show a little bit.
That's what I mean when I say that I've gone ahead and just decided I hate him, even though I know nothing about him and that it's completely unfair. So that was the caveat.
We've called it before every July when it's a notoriously dead time in the NFL media sphere. He'll start picking fights with NFL players on social media. He did it with JJ Watt 1 year where he's just looking to get some kind of traction. You know, he's like,
totally.
He's
trying
like
to get on the radar. It's all tactical, pacing, right? It's all completely strategic. He knows exactly what he's doing. And that's, I guess, where I'm like, come on, man.
There was like, a time every year too, when it was time for the Sean Payton traded to the Cowboys rumors, like every single year. And so that's why, but it was a little boy who cried wolf. So this year when he started in with his whole, Payton was almost traded to the Dolphins. People are like, yeah, whatever. All right, man. Cool. You've been talking about Peyton nonstop for a decade. And then lo and behold, it ended up being true.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Other people, okay, so most powerful people in front of the scenes, like up front, far and away the biggest vote getter, and this makes sense, was Roger Goodell with 16 votes. And people will always make the point that, okay, Roger Goodell is an employee of the owners. And yes, that's true, but he is the employee of all 32 owners, not one single owner. So until those guys, when they do band together, it's like some of the big hitters can band together and have a little bit of a quorum on the side, then they can exert some pressure on Goodell, I think. But there's times where, like, they've shown, okay, Jerry Jones, who's voted as the second most powerful, or, well, had the second most votes with 6 votes. I mean, there have been times where Jerry Jones has very much been alone against Roger Goodell, and largely Roger Goodell wins out. So I think that I think it's Goodell. He makes $40 million a year for a job that, hey, Drew, do you know the story behind Goodell? Like his life story? Not his entire life story. Here's just
I was like, is there going to be a quiz after this? Because I don't know a lot of parts of his life.
He doesn't have a biography out or anything, but his father was influential in politics in some way, shape, or form. I can't remember. Either politics or in the law, whatever it was.
I thought he actually like held office or something like that. And then
So at a young age, Roger Goodell, who might have been the only person in America with this goal as a teenager, at the same time, his goal is to become commissioner of the NFL. So he trained his sights on that. So you take this young, really intelligent dude with a lot of ambition, and his goal is to become the commissioner of the NFL, which is a weird goal to have when you're a teenager. And yet, because he's the only guy out there focused on it, he became just a master at which angles to work, how to get himself into the right position. And by the time, you know, his number came up, it was a runaway vote for him. So, I think he wields a lot of power, and he's been studying his entire life, like, just exactly how to do it. The one vote that annoyed me, the two votes that really pissed me off in this one.
Oh, same.
But the two people that said that somehow the most powerful person in the NFL is Tom Brady, which I
can't. Yeah, I know. I want to like key those guys' cars. That was just like, what are you talking about, man? Come on. Like, get it. He's not going to sign with you. Go away.
No, and it also, it goes to show you, I feel like those two agents have their own definition of powerful, and they're just wielding it. Like, in their mind, power and fame and money are synonymous or something somehow.
Yeah. What is power? Like, this became this weird metaphysical conversation around the nature of power. Like, what are you talking about? Tom Brady cannot set any rules or expectations for what the other players are. He could, like, he doesn't wield actual power. That's not how that works.
The one thing that I found interesting too was, among GMs and front office leaders, who is the best talent evaluator?
Yeah,
this is a hard one because, you know, I always think of notoriously the general manager of the year for like 5 years straight was fired within 2 years. So there was a really bad stretch there where guys just, hey, I'm the best, right? Because he inherited some team where he had a few number one overall picks. And, Ryan Grigson was smart enough to draft Andrew Luck. So all of a sudden he's GM of the year, and then they're out on their ass. The ship has been righted a little bit, and the last few guys have stayed in. But I would have voted for this, Chris Ballard from the Colts, just because they've stayed competitive, and I think he's put together a pretty good roster without two things. One, a franchise quarterback, and two, without
spending.
Yeah, without really a lot of spending support from his owner.
Yeah,
so
it does seem like that. Yeah, it's success breeds a thousand fathers, and that's like every time there's a GM every year where it's, you know, that guy's the best one in the NFL.
Let me ask you before my computer, which only has one USB port that works anymore, apparently, so that before the power runs out, have you ever considered becoming an NFL agent?
I think that I feel like our answers maybe are the same, where there was like a 5-hour window.
Yeah.
After I got out of football, where I was like, hey, maybe I could do this. But the problem you run into is the same when people ask you if you ever wanted to be an NFL coach. Yeah. And then you quickly run through all the coaches you've ever known.
Uh-huh.
And then you think, do I want to be any of those guys? And the answer is immediately no. And so I did the same thing when it came to the agent thing and was like, I'm all set.
You didn't want to ever be any of those guys? Like not one of the Shanahan or not one of the, well, let's say one of the Shanahans or one of the Kubiaks or somebody.
Well,
like
this
that.
Is what I'll say is that when I say that, meaning like, you know, are there some that I like genuinely liked and respected? I mean, you know, Kubiak ultimately, I mean, we parted ways and I still really liked him a lot. Same yeah. with, you know, Kyle Shanahan and those guys. I liked them a lot, you know, and I could see like, yeah, I could be that kind of guy. But then you just look at the lifestyle and the bottleneck at the top and everything that goes along with that. And that's I don't know, man. I mean, just the overworking for no reason, in my view, where they have like beds in their offices and shit. It's just
a lot of stuff done for show. That's
100%.
But in a lot of them, like, I don't mean to diminish, like, it's not all for show or anything by any means, but there's a certain part of that culture where it's just going to demand a certain, if you're not working 96 hours a week, you're a bum.
You don't want to win. And obviously.
Right. And I do think you're like finding that balance between, like finding something you really care about and you're juiced up about versus something that you're just kind of at first maniacally obsessed with, but then it becomes like some kind of obligation that like so many of those guys drag themselves around like they were born into a caste or something. And like that's their like that was their lot in life was to be an NFL coach. I'm like, I mean, like, what are they gonna do? Turn down that money, you know, like a lot of those guys, like, where the hell are you going to, where's anybody? But especially like some of those guys, like, where the hell are you going to make $500,000 a year, you know, to coach a position?
Completely. So and if you get fired, you still get paid.
Yeah. And they can't turn that down. And yet they're miserable. It's
miserable. A lot of them are a miserable group of people.
And that's the part where you said where some of the things that are out of your control, it's if you find the right situation, it can be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it always felt like farming, where the thing that, when I was a kid growing up in a farming family, the thing that I would look at about farming that was so awful was that you could do everything right, but you have no control over the weather. Mm-hmm. And if you could do everything right in a certain year, but still have a crappy crop or still have disease with your cows or something, you lose that at least give me an illusion of control. I know none of us have total control or anything, but there's just so much. In football, it's similar where you can do everything right, but because of circumstances or because of things beyond your control, you just it's very, very frigging. It can happen in any walk of life that you can do everything the right way and still fail overall. But in football, it happens every single year to a lot of really smart people.
And that was the biggest thing. Maybe you were the same way where when I got out of football, I was so thirsty for that kind of control because you don't have it as a player for the most part. I mean, of course you can control, you know, your performance to some extent. You can't control injuries. You can't control, you know, what coaches perceive of you, you know, all those things. And so coming out of it, I mean, I think the last thing I wanted to do was put myself in another spot where I was giving up so much agency around my own ability. And, you know, as an agent goes, it just felt like maybe you have a little more control. But you're also don't get me wrong, plenty of agents that are exceptions to the rule, but there is like they are dealing in sleaze to some extent.
It's like the
currency of the realm.
You can't afford to be too picky with your clients. And then your job, as you're less picky with your clients, your job becomes babysitter at times. And now it's one thing to be a mentor or to help guys out, but then it's others to be not even a babysitter, but like the guy that's cleaning up messes.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. Yeah. And I just knew also that I knew I wouldn't be a good agent because what's one of the biggest things about being an agent, Drew?
Probably, I guess, being hot, strong.
Making phone calls.
Phone calls. Yeah, consistently calling up. Yeah. Oh, are you referring to calls. How I'll call you and or text you for 45 days in a row with no response? Is that kind of where you're going with that? Yeah.
I think with coaching, I think the thing that coaches in the NFL, the ones that are really good at it, they have an ability to just keep forging ahead, like through really a lot of monotony. And it's kind of like a steadfastness that I know I don't have. I'm too freaking loopy. It's not like me. This is not like some false modesty where I'm saying like, well, I'm too creative.
I'm too eccentric to be able to confine myself to that sort of rigid structure.
No, it's not that at all. Like, I don't have the attention span, I don't think, and the patience required to like be. So I think I could coach and I'd be all right at it, but I don't think I would be as good at it as a lot of other things. So I said no as well. We better call it a day because my okay. All right, I'm going to go off on the Apple computer company in our next podcast. There's they've got me. They've got their hooks in me, and yet I feel like within each ensuing generation of products I buy, the battery life is less.
It's lower.
The dependability is worse. Yeah. I'm actually having to worry about viruses now and everything. So yeah, coming up next and at random points in the podcast in the future, we'll discuss that. So
thank you, Drew.
We can tie up a few more of these loose ends from this agent survey, but if anybody wants to subscribe to The Athletic, feel free. They don't cover Houston with a beat reporter anymore, so I'm considering getting rid of it, but otherwise they have very, very good writing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Peace.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.